now with your latest up-to-date forecast. Here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather on 1460 WVOX.
Updated weather forecast for today, calling for light snow to be tapering off this morning. Slick conditions on road and walkways, so the accumulations of about an inch, but temperatures during the daytime will melt off some into the upper 30s. For tonight, back to a chance of some rain, sleet, and snow during the overnight hours. Temperatures upper 20s, lower 30s, and there could be some slushy accumulation of 1 to 2 inches. And that'll be tapering off in the morning hours on Saturday. But during the daytime Saturday, highs 30s to near 40. Still that possibility of some sleet or rain showers daytime. At night, mostly cloudy near 30. Sunday, increasing clouds. Could be some rain in the afternoon, changing to snow at night before ending temperatures lower 40s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for 1460 WVOX, a Whitney Global Media Station.
Whitney Media offers unique opportunities for independent packagers and radio program producers in the metropolitan area. Both WVIP HD and WVOX Worldwide offer prime airtime in the evening, on the weekend, and during the day for a wide range of programs dealing with health, finance, religion, business opportunities, as well as international and multicultural talk and music. The following is an independently produced program. The views and claims expressed on this program by its hosts and guests are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or its advertisers.
1460 WVOX.
Stay tuned for Building Knowledge with Building and Realty Institute host Jeff Hanley. Mr. Hanley is the Associate Director of BRI, and every Friday morning at 11:30, you'll have the opportunity of learning to build your knowledge about planning, insurance, environmental regulations, and everything you need to know on the local level to build your knowledge. Here now is Jeff Hanley.
Good morning, and a happy Friday to all. Welcome to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the official radio show of the Building and Realty Institute, which is also known as the BRI, as well as the Builders Institute. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the BRI and your program host. We thank you so very much for joining us this morning on WVOX 1460 AM, as well as worldwide on WVOX.com. We are coming to you live from the New Rochelle studios of WVOX. And again, many thanks for joining us this morning. For first-time listeners, we will explain what the Building and Realty Institute is. BRI is a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization. Our association is composed of more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. We are truly a statewide organization. The members of the BRI are involved in virtually every sector of the building, realty, and construction industry. The BRI represents our members and the building, realty, and construction sector on a virtual 24/7 basis. If you are involved in building, if you are involved in realty, if you are involved in construction work, we are most definitely the trade association for you and for your business. And we are marking the 73rd anniversary of our formation throughout 2019, a fact we are very, very happy to acknowledge. Today is Friday, March 1st. What does that mean? It means that spring and summer are approaching. Accordingly, the title of our segment this morning is Insurance Policies for Claim Exposures That Residential and Commercial Properties Face in the upcoming spring and summer seasons. And our guest is absolutely the perfect guest to address this issue. He is Jason Schisciano. He is co-president of Levitt First Associates of Tarrytown, which is the insurance manager for the Building and Realty Institute and its seven component associations. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for joining us on Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute.
Good morning, Jeff, and thank you again for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Levitt First and how it functions?
I sure will. We are property and casualty insurance brokers and bonding brokers, and we're located in Tarrytown, New York. So we do insurance and bonding for everything from construction contractors to all types of real estate, including condominiums, cooperative apartments, rental apartments, industrial buildings, and office buildings. Pretty much any exposure that a member of the BRI would have. Importantly, we as the advisors to the Building and Realty Institute and through our relationship with the BRI, we have a group discount workers' compensation insurance program for both construction and real estate industries. In addition to that, we do general business insurance, and we've got a staff of 65 people all in one office in Tarrytown. So we like to think of ourselves as a boutique insurance broker. We can provide very personalized, customized, one-on-one service to our clients, but still have all of the access to insurance companies and leverage that the larger national brokers have. And it's our 50th year in business this year, Jeff. So
that is
my
correct.
Father-in-law, Dave Levitt, and Alan First founded the firm in 1969.
Happy anniversary to Levitt First.
Thank you.
Levitt First Associates and the Building and Realty Institute have a long-term relationship, and we most definitely wish all of our colleagues at Levitt First many, many congratulations on that noteworthy anniversary, and we wish you all the very best in the years ahead. And by the way, if any of our listeners would like to contact Levitt First, the number is as follows, 914-457-4200. Okay, time to talk insurance. Time to talk insurance policies for residential and commercial buildings. As I mentioned earlier, we are getting closer and closer to spring and summer, so we will focus on the policies that property owners and managers of the properties that I mentioned should have in place. Jason, can you please list the insurance policies that multifamily residential buildings and those and larger complexes should have in place as we get closer to spring and summer? Let's start that way.
Sure. I won't speak about the actual insurance policies, because most likely all of these types of buildings that we're talking about already have insurance policies in place, so you wouldn't place necessarily new policies for a particular season. But let me talk to you about a few coverages within those policies and also terms within those policies that might be worth taking a look at as we approach the summer months. The items would be, first of all, checking, and I can explain these if you like, checking on whether or not the building's property insurance policy has what's called a per unit or per building ice damming deductible as we move from winter to spring. And we have melt, snow melt, and ice melt. Flood insurance is very critical in these two seasons, as well as sewer and drain backup coverage. The wind deductible could be an issue, the hurricane or wind deductible. And then also pollution liability could be a greater exposure during these seasons. And then finally, workers' compensation and New York State disability, especially if the association has a pool with lifeguards.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about each of the components of the areas you just mentioned? If a property manager or a property owner feels they need to investigate a little further into the exact components that they already have in place?
Yeah, sure. So sure. I'm just going through the list that I mentioned before and adding a little bit more detail.
Okay.
A per unit ice damming ice damming is when you have a roof, for instance, on a two-story wood frame garden style type of a condo or an apartment building. And in the spring, as you have these late March snows, and then it freezes and then melts again as the sun comes up in the morning, you can have snow melt or ice melt, and then water going up underneath the shingles of the building, and then that water eventually finds its way down through the interior walls and creates obviously water damage to the interior of the apartment or condo unit. So insurance companies, having paid a tremendous amount of money on these claims, have added what's called a per-unit building deductible or ice damming deductible. So if you have a $5,000 deductible on your condo policy, that $5,000 would apply to each and every unit that is damaged by that particular ice damming event during the thawing season. So it can secretly increase the overall cost of your insurance through the payment of these individual unit deductibles by massive percentages. When you think about it, if you have a building with four or five units and you have five units that are damaged from the ice damming, you're paying $25,000 instead of the five that you may have thought that you were going to pay for the deductible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned pollution control. I found that interesting. Can we touch on that, please?
Yeah. So in the spring and summer, obviously, is the time when our landscape contractors come back out and are spraying fertilizer or weed killer or pest control, depending on where your building is located. So all of these contractors that, or even the in an apartment building, the pest control contractor that's spraying inside the common areas, the hallways, the lobby, et cetera, is bug season in the spring and summer.
Mm-hmm.
All of those types of pollutants can obviously cause a liability situation, somebody getting sick from inhaling a pesticide, or a truck with a big container of fertilizer on the back of it takes a corner too quickly inside the condo complex and flips over, and that pollution, that chemical leaches into the ground or into a water supply, and there would obviously be legal liability. The normal building policy does not have coverage for that, and while you would hope that the contractor's insurance would respond and protect the building, it might not. So it's important for the building to consider having a pollution liability policy to address that exposure.
Got it. What about seasonal employees, Jason, such as lifeguards at swimming pools within a residential building or complex?
Yeah.
What should property owners and managers focus regarding that sector?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways that seasonal employees are dealt with. A lot of condos and co-ops will hire a firm, a pool management firm that will provide lifeguards, so the employees are not necessarily directly employed by the condo or the co-op. But still, in order to pull a pool permit, in most municipalities within Westchester, you need to show evidence before you can get the permit, evidence of workers' compensation insurance and New York State disability insurance, just to get that permit, regardless of whether or not your employees are direct employees of the condo or co-op. If they are direct employees of the condo and co-op, you, by law, obviously have to cover your employees for workers' comp and disability. In addition to that, you would be concerned about employment practices liability if a employee, like a lifeguard, claims that they were, for instance, harassed by somebody or wrongfully discharged because of their age, for instance. And employment practices liability would cover that, and that's oftentimes part of the directors and officers policy.
Should property managers and owners consult with their respective insurance companies months in advance of the spring and summer months and go over a checklist of the components of their policies that deal with spring and summer issues? Should that be done on an annual basis? Should it be done 6 months prior to spring and summer, 3 months prior to spring and summer? What would you recommend on those areas, Jason?
Well, I think the most common timeline or schedule for that type of a review is really at the renewal of the policy, regardless of whether that renewal of the package policy, which is the property and liability policy. Usually all the policies renew on the same date anyway. But whether or not that renewal date is, you know, March 1st or July 1st or October 1st, it's a good time for the broker to sit down and go through all of these items with the board and or the property manager. You know, I mentioned things like the wind deductible. We're seeing carriers, especially in coastal areas, for instance, like the Long Island Sound communities, where potentially a superstorm, another superstorm or hurricane could have a major damaging effect with respect to wind and roofs and shingles and windows. You might have a separate deductible on your policy. Your policy might be a $5,000 deductible for a fire, But if you have a roof come off because of wind, that deductible could be $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 or more. And it's important to know about that regardless of when during the calendar year you do this review.
Got it. Jason, is it a good idea for buildings or complexes to have extensive wind deductible situations despite the fact that they may not be based near a coastline? Would you still suggest a wind policy?
I might need to make myself a little more clear. Most, if not all, condo or co-op property insurance policies will cover wind and hurricane. It's a matter of whether or not you're going to pay a special higher deductible if you have a wind damage event, or if you're just going to pay the normal deductible, whatever that deductible is for, like a fire exposure or a water damage claim. So it's just important, as after these major storms we've had in the last 8 to 10 years, mm-hmm. some carriers have been putting these very high wind deductibles on their policies. It's important for a board to know if they have that sort of the contingent liability of that high deductible if in the unlikely event that we have another hurricane.
Okay, you're listening to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the official radio program of the Building and Realty Institute. We thank you for joining us this morning on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com. We are coming to you live from the studios of WVOX in New Rochelle. I am Jeff Hanley, your program host. I am also the Associate Executive Director of the Building and Realty Institute. The focus of this morning's program is what insurance checklists residential buildings and commercial buildings should have in place as we grow closer to the spring and summer months. Our guest is Jason Schisciano. He is co-president of Levitt First Associates of Tarrytown, which is the insurance manager for the Building and Realty Institute and all of its component associations. By the way, listeners, any questions you might have for Jason, please feel free to call us here at WVOX. We are at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. We would absolutely love to hear from you. Jason, what about commercial buildings? Are spring and summer insurance claims, the exposures to spring and summer insurance claims, the same for commercial buildings as it would be for residential buildings and complexes?
So in general, there's not much difference. There is a difference perhaps in the types of claims that you could have, but the same types of insurance policies are common to both residential and commercial buildings. For instance, like, let's switch to the liability side. We've been talking about property damage.
Okay.
Let's talk about, people getting hurt on your property. The most common liability exposure, whether it's a commercial or residential building, is somebody simply slipping and falling. Whether they slip and fall because of ice, or they slip and fall because of an uneven paver on a sidewalk or what have you, that can happen at a residential building or at a commercial building. Commercial building, it might happen in a parking lot. It might happen in a lobby. Where it happens could be potentially different, and the types of things that can cause the slip and fall could be potentially different, but it's still the general liability policy and the umbrella liability policy that address that type of claim. And the same holds true for property. I mean, we've been talking about property coverages and deductibles. I mean, you can have a sewer or drain backup or a flood, even if you're not near a body of water, at a residential building or a commercial building. It's the same type of policy that covers that exposure regardless of the type of building.
Okay. Jason, what else? What else relating to risk and insurance should buildings consider as the spring and summer months approach?
Well, I think aside from the actual insurance policies that the buildings carry, without question, and this is increasingly an issue in New York, it's the need to pay attention to what we call risk transfer between the building and the contractors that are working on the building. I can explain or elaborate on that if you'd like.
Yes, please do, Jason. Thank you.
So spring and summer months, you're going to have usually a lot more activity going on at the building We already mentioned certain types of contractors that are going to usually do their work more frequently in the spring and summer, like painters or roofing contractors or masons who can't pour concrete in the cold weather but can do it in the spring and summer. So you have a flurry of activity usually at a commercial building or a condo co-op building during the spring and summer. All of these contractors are just liability claims potentially waiting to happen, unfortunately, if their employees get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about that, you know, quite a bit with the Builders Institute and its members, and on this radio show before. So the issue is, if one of those contractors' employees gets hurt, and especially in New York, because as you know, the scaffold law, which is a New York State exclusive law that says that if somebody gets injured falling from a height in New York, it's the property owner, the building, the landlord, or the condo or a co-op that will be absolutely liable to that person for their injuries and the lawsuit that would follow. So that's the exposure when these contractors are on your property, especially if they're on a ladder or working from a height. And what we advise our clients to do is to put as much of that exposure, that liability exposure, onto the contractor's insurance policy, and there are ways to accomplish that.
Okay. Can you elaborate on those ways?
Yeah. It's simply put, it involves obtaining documentation. So there are two critical documents in most cases that a condo, co-op, landlord would have to collect in order to transfer the risk from the building to the contractor for injuries to the contractor's employees. The first is a certificate of insurance, which most people are familiar with, and you want it to show the insurance policies of the contractor, including the general liability policy, which is the policy that's most likely going to respond to a contractor's employee getting hurt. And you want that certificate to show that the building owner is an additional insured on the contractor's policy. The other document that is more important, frankly, than the certificate is a signed written agreement. It can be part of the agreement for work, the work contract, or it can be a separate document that where the contractor agrees in writing to indemnify or hold harmless the building owner for any claims that occur as a result of his work and injuries that occur as a result of his work, and where the contractor agrees to name the building owner as an additional insured. It's that written agreement signed by the contractor that's really the trigger for coverage on the contractor's policy and to accomplish the risk transfer.
Okay. You mentioned the scaffold law. The scaffold law is in effect in New York State. New York State remains the only state in the union that still has that scaffold law. Can you basically recover how negative that is to the business community and to the building and realty industry?
Yeah, I mean, I really can't think of anything that's more globally negative for the real estate and construction industry
as
this particular law. Directly related to the topics that we're talking about, condo and co-op boards and landlords and apartment owners and are constantly complaining about how expensive their insurance is. The reason why it's so expensive is because really there's very little competition in New York for insurance companies to write that type of insurance. And the reason why most insurance companies don't want to write condo, co-op, apartment building insurance in New York or even office building insurance in some cases is because they know the exposure that these contractors, employees, and the injuries to these employees mean for the building due to the absolute liability. So less competition in New York for condo, co-op, apartment building, office building insurance dries up the cost. There's less supply equals higher cost. And if you are unfortunate to have a scaffold law claim where a worker gets injured on your property from a gravity-related fall, and you have that claim on your loss history, and it's not transferred by the risk transfer process that I discussed to the contractor's insurance so that your insurance ends up having to pay that six- or seven-figure claim, you will be paying double or triple your insurance premiums for years down the road with far less coverage and far poorer quality coverage if you have one of those claims. And so in a bigger picture, that law is driving up the cost of insurance for contractors. It drives up the cost of insurance for schools and for municipalities and really everything in every phase of life here in New York.
Absolutely well summarized, Jason. Thank you very much. That, as you said, is a definite negative to the building, realty, and construction industry, as well as the general business community. Those with questions on the SCAFA law can call the BRI at 914-273-0730, and we will most definitely fill you in on the efforts of the BRI and other allied trade association groups on pointing out the negatives of this law to the New York State Legislature. Jason Siscano has traveled to Albany many times to cite the negatives of this law. So if you need information on it, call us. Jason, Ken First, myself, Albert Annunziata, we will be more than happy to relay the information on this negative piece of legislation to you. No question about it. Jason, how would I reach Levitt First if I had a question? Should I contact them through the phone number?
Yeah, our number again you mentioned is 914-457-4200. And you can check out our website, www.levittfirst.com. That has all of our contact information on it as well.
Okay, if someone were to have questions on the workers' compensation groups that you mentioned, who should they ask for at Levitt First?
Right. They can always ask for myself, Jason Schigiano, or my partner and co-president, Ken First, or Mark Spar. SPAR handles our workers' comp groups department, so he'd be available as well.
Okay, it's 11:58. We have about a minute and a half left. Can you quickly summarize? I know it's a big question, but can you quickly summarize what property owners and managers should keep in mind regarding those insurance components as we draw nearer to the spring and summer months?
Yeah, again, I think the key is to make sure that the property manager or the board is just, it's always good to have a complete written proposal from the broker that has these details that I mentioned about these nuanced sublimited coverages like flood, like sewer and water backup, the per unit ice damming deductible, etc., and that there be a discussion between the broker and the board and property manager so that any questions can be addressed and everybody's on the same page.
Jason Schigiano, co-president of Levitt First Associates, many thanks for joining us this morning on Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. An absolutely tremendous job by you summarizing this important topic. We also thank our listeners for joining us this morning, and we invite you back next Friday morning, 11:30 a.m., here on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com for another segment of Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. This is Jeff Hanley, your program host. Thank you for joining us. A good weekend to everyone.